secret of his great strength and how we can overpower him, so we may tie him up and subdue him. Each of us will give you 1,100 shekels of silver. So Delilah said to Samson, tell me the secret of your great strength and how you can be tied up and subdued. Samson answered her, if anyone ties me with 7 fresh stones that have not been dried, I'll become as weak as any other man. Then the rulers of the Philistines brought her 7 fresh stones that had not been dried, and she tied him with them. With men hidden in the room, she called to him, Samson, the Philistines are upon you. But he snapped the tongues as easily as a piece of string snaps when it comes close to a flame. So the secret of his strength was not discovered. Then Delilah said to Samson, you have made a fool of me. You lied to me. Come now, tell me how you can be tied. He said, if anyone ties me securely with new ropes that have never been used, I'll become as weak as any other man. So Delilah took new ropes and tied him with them. Then with men hidden in the room, she called to him, Samson, the Philistines are upon you. But he snapped the ropes off his hands as if they were threads. Delilah then said to Samson, until now, you have been making a fool of me and lying to me. Tell me how you can be tied. He replied, if you weave the 7 braids of my head into the fabric on the loom and tighten it with the pin, I'll become as weak as any other man. So while he was sleeping, Delilah took the 7 braids of his head, wove them into the fabric, and tightened it with the pin. Again she called to him, Samson, the Philistines are upon you. He awoke from his sleep and pulled up the pin and the loom with the fabric. Then she said to him, how can you say I love you when you won't confide in me? This is the 3rd time you have made a fool of me and haven't told me the secret of your great strength. With such nagging, she prodded him day after day until he was tired to death. So he told her everything. No razor has ever been used on my head, he said, because I have been a Nazarite, set apart to God since birth. If my head were shaved, my strength would leave me, and I would become as weak as any other man. When Delilah saw that he had told her everything, she sent word to the rulers of the Philistines, come back once more. He has told me everything. So the rulers of the Philistines returned with the silver in their hands, having put him to sleep on her lap. She called a man to shave off the 7 braids of his hair, and so began to subdue him, and his strength left him. Then she called, Samson, the Philistines are upon you. He awoke from his sleep and thought, I'll go out as before and shake myself free. But he did not know that the Lord had left them. Then the Philistines seized him, gouged out his eyes, and took him down to Gaza, binding him with bronze shackles. They set him to grinding in the prison, but the hair on his head began to grow again after it had been shaved. From verse 23, he says, now the rulers of the Philistines assembled to offer a great sacrifice to Dagon, their god, to celebrate, saying, our God has delivered Samson, our enemy, into our hands. When the people saw him, they praised their God, saying, our God has delivered our enemy into our hands, the one who laid waste our land and multiplied our slain. While they were in high spirits, they shouted, bring out Samson to entertain us. So they called Samson out of the prison, and he performed for them. When they stood him among the pillars, Samson said to the servant who held his hand, put me where I can feel the pillars that support the temple so that I may lean against them. Now the temple was crowded with men and women. All the rulers of the Philistines were there, and on the roof were about 3,000 men and women watching Samson perform. Then Samson prayed to the Lord, O sovereign Lord, remember me. O God, please strengthen me just once more, and let me with one blow get revenge on the Philistines for my 2 eyes. Then Samson reached toward the 2 central pillars on which the temple stood, bracing himself against them, his right hand on the one and his left hand on the other. Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. Then he pushed with all his might, and down came the temple on the rulers and all the people in it. Thus he killed many more when he died than when he lived. Verse 31. Then his brothers and his father's whole family went down to get him. They brought him back and buried him between Zorah and Eshtahol in the tomb of Manoah, his father. He had led Israel 20 years.
Well, good morning, Parkrest, and it's good to be bringing this message to you today down here from sunny Australia. But just want to say on behalf of myself and my family, we just pass on our greetings, and Lord willing, we're looking forward to being with you in person later this year again. It's been already over a year since we've been there, and as I said, Lord willing, we'll be coming back later this year for a visit. And so today, though, we're concluding Judges 16, the story of Samson, and looking at his life. I believe it's been read already, the chapter for you. So if not, please just pause this video, read the chapter, listen to what God's word has to say. You know, maybe there's something that will speak to you from it. And then we can continue on with this as I open it up. But I've kind of title, if I was going to give this message a title or even the chapter a title, often it's, you know, my Bible that I have here, it says, you know, Samson and Delilah as the chapter heading. But I would give, if I was going to give a chapter heading to this, I'd call it the delusion, defeat, and death of Samson. The delusion, the defeat, and the death of Samson. And I'm going to kind of break it down into three little sections. The first is the first few verses, 16:1-3, where it's the story of Samson going to Gaza and going to be with a prostitute there. The second, so that's the delusion, and we'll look at that, why that's the delusion. The second part's the defeat, and that's Samson with Delilah, verse 4 through 21, and then or 22, and then from there to the end is obviously Samson's death, the death of Samson, how his life came to really a rather tragic end. And so first part, maybe just to refresh our memories with it, it said, one day Samson went to Gaza where he saw a prostitute. He went in to spend the night with her. The people of Gaza were told, Samson is here. So they surrounded the place and lay in wait for him all night at the city gate. They made no more moving during the night, saying, at dawn we will kill him. But Samson lay there only until the middle of the night. Then he got up and took hold of the doors of the city gate, together with the two posts, and tore them loose, bar and all. He lifted them to his shoulders and carried them to the top of the hill that faces Hebron. As you know from the previous chapters and last week's message, that Samson is public enemy number one. He's God's chosen judge for the people of Israel, that judge not being in so much the courthouse judge, but rather the one that God used to lead the people to fight the oppressors and all that. And I'm sure one thing you've seen is that Samson is not a model character by any means. And so this one I call the delusion of Samson. Why is that? Well, because once again, he seems to get away with his sin. I'm going to say that again. He seems to get away with his sin. He goes to a prostitute, finds himself that's the sin, going to the prostitute, being with her. It puts his life in danger, but he seems to escape unharmed. I call this part the delusion because we know you can't outrun sin. Scripture tells us, be sure your sin will find you out. And what we're going to see is that Samson continues in this pattern of sin, and that's where he meets his downfall. You know, there's a story that might not relate to you guys right now. I know you've been in a deep freeze, lots of snow, but this has to do with ice cream. And when Becky or Rebecca and I were first married, and you know, life was good and all that, and we bought a tub of ice cream, you know, and we had it as dessert. And well, lo and behold, you know, one day I'm at home and feeling a little hungry, and so, oh, I think we have some ice cream in the freezer. So I just go get a spoon and just take one scoop, put it back, you know. No double dipping, don't worry. But, you know, just go and have one scoop. Doesn't matter, we have a tub of ice cream. Well, that continues, you know, next week or so. Oh, just go have another scoop. Go grab a little bite of ice cream. Little bits, doesn't hurt anyone. Until one day we have some guests over. And we had some students over from the university, and we you know, had a nice meal. And I remember that we had a crisp, an apple crisp that we'd, or when I say we'd made, Rebecca had made. And Rebecca says, "Go and get the ice cream for it." And so off we go, and I go and I get the ice cream, and we open it up, and lo and behold, the tub of ice cream is empty. Just a few little bits around in the corners. My little scoops had been found out. And it's a bit embarrassing, right? It's a bit embarrassing to be found. Oh, she said, "Oh, I thought this movie, you know, we only got this last month. What happened to it?" I said, "Well, I think I've been found out. You know, be sure your sin will find you out." You know, one way or other, you know, I was, you know, it'd be found out that I was eating too much ice cream, whether it was by finding an empty tub, as we did, or maybe just in my health. We can't outrun sin. And Scripture tells us this again and again in so many different ways, that sin will destroy. Sin's effect in our life, the Bible says the wages of sin is what? Death. And the wages of sin is death. And leading a sinful lifestyle, we can't outrun it. We can't get away with it. Maybe in the short term, like Samson here, you know, short term, hey, he was fine. But that pattern of ongoing sin without repentance, without turning back to God, ultimately we see leads to his defeat and death. You know, I remember reading this story as a kid. I had this little Bible with pictures. And for some reason, this story, you know, the story with Samson goes down, and is really portrayed as a victory. Samson's strength overcame these people. He was too smart for their plans, right? You know, we see that they lay in wait, they're going to surprise him. But oh, Samson was too smart. Samson was too strong. And oh, Samson wins again. But really, this is a tragic story. You know, and reading the story in that way of, oh, this is Samson overcoming, is a tragic way to read this book. And it's a reflection of us as humans if we read it this way. To view this as a victory rather than anything but another defeat. Seeing Samson's escape here as a victory or something positive is missing the point. This is a tragic story of a man caught in sin. You know, I think we do it so often. So often we'll celebrate strength, you know, ability, cunning, whatever it might be, over character. Certainly, this is the world, way the world views things, what the world celebrates. But unfortunately, too often, I think us as Christians do too. We look for the strength of the person, ignoring their character. We say, "Well, look what they can do. Oh, look what they've accomplished," without looking at their character. And so if we fall that way, we too can be slightly deluded. Well, Samson's delusion of thinking that he can get away with sin ultimately leads to his defeat. And that's what we see in the next section, where he goes down into enemy territory again. You know, and what a thing, he's going into enemy territory again. He finds a woman, falls in love with her. And here we say that she's used by Samson's enemies, Israel's enemies, to find the secret of Samson's strength. And well, again, I remember hearing the story and reading the story as a kid and thinking, "Oh, look, Samson, oh, he's so smart, he's so smart. He tricked them once, he tricked them twice." But ultimately, your sin will find you out. You will pay the consequence for your sin. And we see that he's worn down and eventually shares the secret of his strength. And in this tragic turn of events, Samson's strength leaves him as he reveals the secret that is his Nazarite vow, that his strength came from God. And sometimes I think, you know, how could this happen? You know, oh, couldn't Samson have just wiggled his way out? I'm going to read a chapter of the Bible, Proverbs chapter 5. It was most likely written after Samson's time, but I wonder if maybe Samson was an inspiration for this chapter of Proverbs 5. So just listen to Proverbs 5. And just as I read it, you know, reflect not only on Samson's life, but also, of course, your own life. You see, we're going to see that Samson did not pay attention. Well, I mean, this wasn't written for when Samson was alive, but he didn't live this way. But we can. We have these words in Scripture to inform us and to guide us on God's right path. So Proverbs 5 says this: "My son, pay attention to my wisdom. Turn your ear to my words of insight, that you may maintain discretion and your lips may preserve knowledge. For the lips of the adulterous woman drip honey, and her speech is smoother than oil. But in the end she is bitter as gall, sharp as a double-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps lead straight to the grave. She gives no thought to the way of life. Her paths wander aimlessly, but she does not know it. Now then, my sons, listen to me. Do not turn aside from what I say. Keep to a path far from her. Do not go down near the door of her house, lest you lose your honor to others and your dignity to one who is cruel. Lest strangers feast on your wealth and your toil enrich the house of another. At the end of your life, you will groan when your flesh and body are spent. You will say, how I hated discipline, how my heart spurned correction. I would not obey my teachers or turn my ears to my instructors. And as soon as I was in serious trouble, I was soon in serious trouble in the assembly of God's people. Drink water from your own cistern, running water from your own well. Should your springs overflow in the streets, your streams of water in the public squares, let them be yours alone, never to be shared with strangers. May your fountain be blessed, and may you rejoice in the wife of your youth. A loving doe, a graceful deer, may her breast satisfy you always. May you ever be intoxicated with her love. Why, my son, be intoxicated with another man's wife? Why embrace the bosom of a wayward woman? For your ways are in full view of the Lord, and he examines all your paths. The evil deeds of the wicked ensnare them. The cords of their sin hold them fast. For lack of discipline they will die, led astray by their own great folly." And so that's Proverbs chapter 5. And I wonder if you, like me, as we read that and listened to it, can just see Samson's life play out through there. You know, he'd been given instruction of how he was to live. He'd been given commandments. He knew the way that he was to go, and yet he did not pay attention. And here he finds himself with this adulterous woman whose words, says, drip honey, and speech is smoother than oil. You know, we saw how Delilah, as she spoke, must have just worn down, grieved through Samson to bring him to that point. And while he was enjoying it and enjoying it and enjoying it, in the end, where? It says, bitter as gall, led down to the grave, it says here. We see that Samson ignored wisdom. It says here, do not go near the door of her house. Keep a path far from her. You know, it's amazing how Samson time and time again put himself on the path, was going down to Gaza, going into enemy territory, going into these places where he knew he shouldn't be. Of course, this can often happen with us. And in the world we live with the technology we have, we don't have to leave our house to find ourselves in temptation and sexual temptation. It's available on a phone, on a computer, everywhere we go, on the TV. Are you avoiding? Are you staying away from the door? You know, it's amazing how sin and temptation works. We had that, as I said, with Samson, that delusion. Maybe you'd stumbled before and you thought, well, I'm okay now, so I'm not too worried about it. Or you find yourself at the door thinking, well, I haven't gone in. And yet, it will seduce you in. And so we need to listen to Proverbs 5. Take seriously these words. Ultimately, this is a, you know, most Bibles have a warning against adultery as the title here. And this is the path that leads you to. It's one that leads to death. And so we're called to listen to God's word and to, it says, obey. Verses 13 and 14 is, I would not obey my teachers or turn my ear to my instructors. And I was soon in serious trouble in the assembly of God's people. We need to take seriously what God says and put into a practice. Obey it. You know, here there's this picture of a man in Proverbs 5 at the end of his life going, oh, how much did I hate discipline and spurn correction? I wonder if that was going through Samson's mind as he was blind and in prison and just going, oh, if only I had loved discipline. If only I'd accepted correction, I wouldn't be in this situation. And so ultimately this chapter is for all of God's people, and it can be taken on so many different levels. I think primarily it's talking about for husband and wife, for us to maintain that sexual integrity in our lives, whether you're single or married, but especially married, to be faithful to your spouse. But we can also read a spiritual element to this too, of forsaking our first love, of turning away from God, chasing after idols and chasing after other pleasures in life. And so in Proverbs here, I think we can see both of those. And so, as I said, this was written, Proverbs 5 would have been written after Samson, but I wonder if he was the inspiration. Although the sad reality is, it's a story that's far too common in our world and in the world of the Bible times back then too. And so we find Samson is overcome. It's interesting that there's in chapter 16, this last part of his life, although we hear that God does ultimately answer his last prayer, there's no mention of the Spirit of God coming on Samson. You know, I thought of that, it struck me. It says there that when his hair had caught him or been cut off, I'll read again, it says, and so Samson is told Delilah, getting back to the story here, that, you know, if you shave off my head, that's the source of my strength. And so she does. And it says, having put him to sleep on her lap, she called a man to shave off the 7 braids of his hair, and so began to subdue him, and his strength left him. Then she called, Samson, the Philistines are upon you. He awoke from his sleep and thought, I'll go out as before and shake myself free. But he did not know that the Lord had left him. Then the Philistines seized him, gouged out his eyes, and took him down to Gaza, binding him with bronze shackles. And so we see a few things here, but there's this tragic thing. He did not know the Lord had left him. His strength had gone. And here's what we can find too often in our lives, where we think, I can get away with this sin until you can't. And it often comes as a surprise and a shock and leads us and has us in a place where we can't rescue ourselves. There's a symmetry here where the chapter begins with Samson going down into Gaza, deep into the enemy territory, and bringing himself back out by his own strength. But here, the strength has left him. He's led back down into Gaza, deep into enemy territory, as a prisoner. You know, one commentary I read about Samson and his life, and it talked about how he's often celebrated as for his strength. But he says at the end, we can call him Samson the loser, because he's, when he loses his hair, he loses his strength, he loses his sight, he loses his freedom, and ultimately he loses his life. And so for all the gains that Samson might have had, for all the victories he had, his life ends with a series of losses, losing the hair, the strength, the sight, the freedom, and the life. And that's where we find him at the end. The delusion of thinking you can live a life of sin and get away with it. That delusion leads to death, for the wages of sin is death. And that's ultimately where that defeat goes, is death. And the chapter ends with Samson's death, the way Samson dies. And yet we see, even here, God fulfilling his purposes through the life of Samson. And that in his death, it says that Samson was able to kill more in his death than he had in his life. But one thing I find interesting in the death of Samson is, not only was he physically blind, I would say he was still spiritually blind in a sense. If you go right back to the beginning of, before Samson's life, when the angel appeared to his mother and said the purpose of Samson, it says this: he will conceive and give birth to a son, and no razor may be used on his head, because the boy is to be a Nazarite, set apart to God from birth, and he will begin the deliverance of Israel from the hands of the Philistines. This was God's purpose in the life of Samson, to begin the deliverance of Israel. And yet at the end of his life, Samson had lost sight of that. At the end of his life, we can read this, his prayers, this to God. He says, Samson prayed to the Lord, chapter 16, verse 28. O sovereign Lord, remember me. O God, please strengthen me just once more. Just why? Lord, give me strength one last time. Why? So I can accomplish your purposes in my life? No. And let me with one blow get revenge on the Philistines for my two eyes. Samson was focused on himself. His purpose was revenge. He wasn't thinking about what God's purpose, which I'm sure his mom would have told him. I'm sure his parents would have told him. But he wasn't focused on that. He wasn't focused on the defeat of the Philistines for the people of Israel, but only for self, for revenge for my eyes. Because of what they've done to me, I want to get back at them worse. God heard that prayer and used that prayer, but primarily, I believe, because it was part of God fulfilling the purpose of Samson's life, even in his death. But, you know, in the end, and I'll just wrap up with this, is I think that Samson's life is ultimately the perfect tale of what the book of Judges ends with. I don't know if you're going to continue and finish the book of Judges, but the book of Judges ends tragically. It says, in those days, Israel had no king. Everyone did as he saw fit. That's what happened in the life of Samson. He did as he saw fit. He did as he saw fit. He saw something. He wanted it. He went and did it. That was the life of Samson. It was a showing or an example of the life of Israel that time, that people did as they saw fit. It's a reality that we live in today, where people do as they see fit. Why? Because they have no king. In those days, Israel had no king. Everyone did as they saw fit. We've touched on Samson, beginnings of the deliverance of God's people from the Philistines. We'll see that that's accomplished when there is a king, King David, and they are freed. And ultimately, we know that that is just a prototype of the true king, and that's Jesus. But I want to say this, you know, We can look at Samson's life and think it's tragic. But the real tragedy is when we go and we live out his life in our own lives. Now, when we go and we live as we see fit. You see, just in the same way that God had a purpose for the life of Samson, the Bible tells us that God has plans and purposes for each and every one of us. God's plans and purposes in our lives will be fulfilled because of God's grace and God's action. And yet, are we going to be willing partners? Are we going to walk with God, seeking his will, seeking his face, loving his discipline and correction and his guidance, staying on his path? Or will we reject God as king of our lives and do as we see fit, a path that ultimately leads to death? And so Samson's life, as I said, models that last phrase the book of Judges so well. He had no king. Samson was a man to himself. And so he did as he saw fit. And so what about you and me? Will you look at Jesus and say, you are Savior and Lord and King of my life? What would you have me do? Ultimately, that's the only way to avoid the fate of Samson in our lives, of going astray and missing the purpose of our life and being caught and entangled in sin, is when we submit to the Lordship of Jesus. And so that's my prayer for you. It's my prayer for my own life. It's only by God's grace that, you know, I've got untangled from things in my life, got put back on the right path time and time again. And so he's worth following. He's worth submitting to, and he's worth living for. And when you do, you see God work his purposes in your life. In a way, yeah, work his purposes in your life. I'll leave it there. So may the Lord bless you and keep you. And I hope this has been an encouragement to you to live faithfully to God. God bless and have a great Sunday. And Lord willing, we'll see you soon. Bye for now.